Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is a special edition of Your Call. Our mornings will never be the same. After working at KALW for 28 years, our dear friend and colleague Joe Burke has decided to retire and start a new chapter in his life. For more than two decades, the KALW community has been waking up to Joe's voice, his witty and sometimes sobering political commentaries, and last but not least, his daily almanac. On today's Your Call, Joe will join us to talk about his most memorable moments on and off the air, his plans for the future, and his connections with listeners. Over the past couple of weeks, Joe has been receiving the nicest messages. And so if you have a question or a comment for Joe, we'd love to hear from you, and he'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Because I'm the host of Your Call, I get to have Joe first for maybe the first 10 minutes, and then we open up the lines. Hi,
morning.
Joe.
I'm good.
So the only other time you have been on the show was with Alan Farley.
Yes, it was during a pledge drive.
We were doing a giant ticket
giveaway,
I think.
Yeah, we tickets to a Giants game, and Alan and I had an idea. Let's try, you know, just talking on Your Call during a pledge drive and see if we can make the phones ring, and it worked.
And we did it.
It was fantastic fun.
So it's kind of amazing.
I really miss Alan.
I know. I want to.
It's only been a couple, 3 years. I think it was 2012 when he passed.
Yeah. I was going to ask you to share some memories of Alan.
Well, knowing Alan since the time I got here, which was in 88, we over time developed a fantastic friendship, you know, and both had a real good love of baseball, which was, that was what we were centered on whenever we'd talk about stuff, and enjoying that first World Series. Not together, I didn't watch it with him, but the next couple of days after it happened, it was just, we were both just so happy. It was very nice. It really was. Alan was a great announcer and a great guy to work with for all those years.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing to think, Joe, that when you started here 28 years ago, you've actually been the morning host for 25 years.
Yeah.
For 25 years, you have been going to bed at around 7:30 at night to get up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, we calculate that 7,000-some-thousand days.
Wow.
of getting up at 3 o'clock.
And you've been diligent about that because you have to get up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's the hard part is just getting the first get out of bed. But once you're out of bed and it's cold outside, you might as well just get dressed and get on your way. But that's, you know, somebody said the secret to success is just showing up. And that's kind of, I think, how I approached my responsibility of being here every day.
What was it?
It's a bit of a responsibility.
Yeah.
You can't just not go, oh, I was out late last night. Because who are you going to call at 11 o'clock at night when you get home anyway? Nobody's going to answer their phone when they get used to you not showing up
on
Friday.
Who are you going to call at 4 in the morning at KLW to say, I can't make it?
That's one of the things, that's one of the drawbacks. If you did catch a bit of a sniff or something, of a sniffle, and you didn't feel well on Wednesday night, you kind of still had to show up on Thursday because it's not fair to anybody to give them, you know, 20 minutes or an hour's time to get. So I'd come in the next day and sacrifice the good of my health for the cause. But that's, you know, I'm sure lots of people are in that. At least lots of morning radio announcers do that.
When did you first hear about KALW?
I'd been working at a station in San Rafael, KTIM. And I interned there I was at City College for a couple of years taking the broadcast program, and you got class credit for an internship. And so I went to KTIM. And while I was there, the station sold, but I still needed the class credit, so I kind of still hung around. And then I got hired, which was really nice. And then after I got fired, which wasn't so nice.
Why'd you get fired?
The owner was a rather conservative fellow, and I made some rather less than complimentary remarks about Oliver North when he was testifying before the Senate. So I was gone within a week or so. But he really liked my voice when he heard me doing some fill-in. And then a friend of mine, after I left KTIM, told me about an opening because he worked for the Department of Public Works. He saw that the public listings and postings, Joe, the school district's looking for a radio announcer. Okay, I'll take that test. And I took the test and came out okay. And 25, 28 years later.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice job to have had all these years. Because the beauty to me of not just KALW, but public radio in general is not so dependent on ratings. You know, we just saw what happened at KFOG when everybody, and KGO, where everybody, regardless of how good they were on the air, is just like cut loose. And that's just, the purge like that is just, But that doesn't seem to exist in public radio. If you're doing good work, they'll just let you keep doing your job. You know, I mean, how many people in commercial radio get to go, I'm going to retire now. Here's the day. Most of the time you come in and there's somebody else in your office. So that's one of the nice things about this place.
What attracted you to radio back then?
I'm kind of a musician, guitar player, bass player, singer. And I thought it would be a kind of cool way to stay in the music business and still stay on top of what's hip, you know, musically, which you lose track of that right away. That's impossible to stay on top of what's new and good. It's just there's so much. After a while, when you're 20-something, you go, oh, this will be easy. I'll stay on top of all the hip stuff. I'll be on the radio. And then you still lose track. Things change, and music, boy, has music changed. And radio, too.
Oh, yeah, major changes. So you were in commercial radio first.
Yes, FM rock jock kind of guy.
What'd you play back
5
then?
5 minutes after 6 o'clock. It was KTIM, when I got there, was the last of the freeform radio stations. And literally, you'd see the men and women who were working there come into the office with, like, records under their arm. To add to what the record library was. There was no, like, you got to play this, you got to play that. I mean, they kept track of what they played, but there was, you know, people, I worked with Trish Robbins and Ken Duncan and David T. and Dorian Nagel and Dred Scott and Ed McClune and these people, they were all just these incredible artists playing records, which doesn't even exist anymore. But I got to watch that. I didn't get to work in that format because, like I said, when I was interning, the station got sold. And all those people got purged, as happens when somebody else buys the station. They come in and change everything. But I still, as I said, had to finish my schoolwork internship. And when the holidays rolled around, they needed somebody for midnight to 6 on Christmas Day. Shoot, I got nothing else to do. You know, just and so I got lucky in that the owner, the new owner, who was really he fired all my friends, you know. But he was an early riser kind of guy, and he heard me midnight to 6 on Christmas and gave me a job because of the way this voice sounds, I guess. And that's where it started, and it's been – that was in 86, so it's 30 years in radio. That's a long time.
30 years in radio.
30 years in radio, starting in San Rafael.
And I'm guessing you choose a lot of the music today during the breaks. So like when we go from Morning Edition to Fresh Air, mm-hmm. you choose that music. And I'm guessing that you played those same songs back then because you grew up at a time when music was amazing.
Lots of them. Lots of them. And I think that's – some people kind of enjoy that sort of touchstone to the songs of that 70s, 80s era.
What are some of your favorite musical memories, whether a concert or meeting a musician or playing your own music?
Meeting a musician when I met Levon Helm from the band, who's just got one of those iconic voices. He came in one day, he was talking about a book he'd written called This Wheel's on Fire. And it was nice to chat with him and just hang out for a bit. And he had one of those real neat southern voices with his whistle to jazz, which was fantastic. Levon was cool. And then there's so much music. You know, growing up in the 60s when we saw the Beatles on TV live, and then you'd see the Grateful Dead playing in Golden Gate Park like a block and a half from my mom and dad's house live. Those things were like regular occurrences in the music scene that was San Francisco that Bill Graham and all those other people were responsible for sort of organizing was all just – it seems like I wish everybody had that sort of – experience, but I've realized over the last few years that we were very lucky to have what we had. One of the high school dances I went to, one of the prom things or something, it wasn't Tower of Power playing, but their whole horn section was there. You know, they knew the guys, and they were just doing a gig, and it was all those songs. Tower of Power was like the bee's knees when we were teenagers, so that was kind of... It was a really neat musical place to be, San Francisco at the time, the late 60s and early 70s. It was just crazy.
Were you a Dead fan in the beginning?
No. It took me a while. They were playing one day in the park. This is the funniest. And I couldn't get off of work at the gas station on 39th and Balboa. And in the park means like 37th and Fulton. It's 5 blocks away. People come in all day asking me for directions. Towards the end of the day, I was actually sending them the wrong direction because I was kind of angry I wasn't able to go to the concert. But when I got home that night, my dad had been down there just wandering around. And he says, you know, that guy with the whiskers, talking about Jerry Garcia, that guy with the whiskers can really play. And that's when I realized, I mean, I kind of been liking him then. But then I go, yeah, well, my dad knows music, you know. And if well, yeah, this guy might be really good. And then, of course, you hop on the bus and you never get off. And I still sort of follow what's left of them, you know. I mean, I know you went last year to, weren't you there for the Santa Clara thing?
No.
Maybe it was somebody
Friends
else.
Friends went, yeah.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, that was, I still like that sort of stuff. The jam bands, the bands where the musicians actually play. Mm. You know, when we were younger, Carlos Santana or Jerry Garcia or any of these guys, any of the bands, they always had a featured soloist. It was much like jazz in that way. And it wasn't just a singer singing a pop hit. And that kind of took over for a really short time where the musicians were what was important and not how high the songs were on the charts. You know? So that was a nice era to be introduced to music.
And also back then, you had the freedom to introduce listeners to new music, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't about the record labels
yeah.
and the money.
No, the program director, Kate Tim, had a sort of a theory that he passed by me one day. I'm not sure if it was his theory for everybody. He said, yeah, I'll play you something you like and know so that you'll hang around for something you never heard before.
Mm.
And that's something you never heard before. You might go, oh, wow, I'll go buy that. Or I'll, you know, that was half the fun of Freeform FM radio, was finding new things, which now you got to play what they tell you.
So what was it like in your first year or so at KALW? What was KALW like back then?
Oh, my. When I first got here, we weren't even on the air 24 hours a day. We'd shut down at midnight, and then the first person in the morning would turn it all back on again at 5 and start over. So what we've been able to do with the fantastic community that supports this station over the last 20-something years is build something that's now really something that everybody listens to. You know, to watch the growth, not just in individual producers and programmers, but in the growth of the audience that supports it, that's kind of the big success to me, is getting people to like it. And now people know who KLW are. You go to the Society for Professional Journalist Awards every year, and we've been getting a couple, three of those every year for the last 10 years or so. And that's – we weren't even on the air 24 hours a day when I first got here, like I said. So it's very nice to watch that growth. People like you know what I mean? Doing your call and all the programs that are produced right here in-house. That's what it's about.
You've seen all of those changes.
Yeah. It used to be just the BBC and NPR. You know, there was nothing that was – not nothing – Alan Farley produced a couple of things, and a lot of individual producers. Chuck Finney and Your Legal Rights have been around forever. And we've got, little by little, it's growing more and more. You know, we've got John Perry and Ken Taylor and Philosophy Talk and all these other homegrown things. And Roman Mars, 99% Invisible, things that we made happen. Yeah, that's – I'm not figuratively, literally, I should say, involved in any of those productions, but been able to help incubate that and make it happen by what we can do with – people who listen to Morning Edition and All Things Considered to raise the funds to keep everything else happening.
Right.
That's the best.
Well, and also people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So we're right now in the middle studio,
yeah.
and usually you're in the big studio, and there's a window that separates us.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout the show, we look at each other, we talk to each other, nobody can hear it. And, you know, if someone's having a bad day, someone will crack a joke. Yeah. And I mean, it's just real stuff, because you must come in on days where you're thinking 3 o'clock, can I do this? And then something happens on the air, and your attitude, everything just changes.
Yeah, well, I give myself – getting up at 3 – I mean, I never went on the air before 5. So I give myself a little time to wake up, because I figure it's not fair to wake up while you're on the air. You know, Morning Edition, here's the news. I'll be right back. You know, I had to get myself already woke up an hour or two so that I didn't sound half asleep, and because nobody wants to sound – sleepy or listen to somebody who sounds sleepy. It's not going to work. So I kind of did get up that early intentionally so that I would be a couple of cups of coffee into the day before I actually turned on the microphone.
And what do you do to sound chipper and friendly all the time? That's what friends always say, is how does this guy sound so chipper at 5 or 6 in the morning?
I'm just that way. Everybody's laughing in the other room. Yeah. The folks who really know me. Once the microphone goes off, I cuss like a sailor.
And sometimes the microphone doesn't go off.
Oh, I've never been caught.
No.
No, I've been very good at that. There's the old rule, you don't cuss in a studio with microphones, even if they're off. Though I've never believed in that rule, and I've never been caught by it. So it's just discipline.
Today is a very special Your Call. We are speaking with Joe Burke. After 28 years, you've probably heard by now, Joe is leaving KALW. He's been the morning announcer for 25 years, and this is really amazing to me. Joe has gone to bed at about 7:30 at night.
Never again.
In order to wake up at 3 a.m.
It's going to be the other way around now.
Well, so, I mean, it is life-changing because your body clock has completely changed.
Yeah, I imagine it'll take a couple of months to get normal. Though on the weekends, I find if I stay up on Friday night and Saturday night watching television or a ball game or a movie or something, that Sundays it's harder to get to sleep early. So maybe it won't take as long as I'm hoping it won't.
Well, and I'm looking forward to taking you out for a drink and some live music because you're not usually able to stay out past 8 or 9.
And I'm looking forward to drinking you.
What are you looking forward to?
That. Going out, you know, and staying up and sleeping in and that sort of thing. When I was off, when I had a little surgery in January, I was off for 8 weeks. Nina, my girlfriend, we discovered, we've been together like 8 or 9 years, and because of my job, never had mornings together. And every morning during that like 8 or 10 weeks, I'd make her a cup of tea, get her lunch, how you doing, good, good, okay, give her a kiss on the cheek, get her off to work. And that's like, wow, this is what real people do with their lives and their partners, you know what I mean? So that was like a real revelation, and it was kind of part of the decision-making process here. I spending more time with the people you care about, that's what I'm really looking forward to. Because going to bed, my go-to-bed time was later when I was 10 years old. You know? So I'm really looking forward to staying up and maybe watching The Tonight Show once in a while.
Well, if you'd like to join us, if you have a question or a comment for Joe Burke, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And we're going to kick it off with a special caller, a matriarch of the Burke family, calling to talk to you, Joe. Hi, welcome to the show.
Good morning, baby boy. Casey's and the Lindberghs and the matriarch of the Burke family are very proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Dorothy Ann. You're
we
so
love
sweet.
You.
Thank you. That's the one person who could make me cry.
John called me and said, you've got to call Joe.
Oh, well, thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm here with Jack W. and Grandpa.
Oh, well, good. Tell them I said hello, give them a hug, and we hope to see you soon.
Aunt Dorothy, do you have a special memory you'd like to share with us?
Oh,
he was my first baby. We have a big family, and he was my brother's son, and that was the
Still
first
am.
Baby in our generation.
Yeah, that's me, the oldest. I get to be patriarch as soon as you...
As soon as I'm not leaving any.
I know.
But he's the oldest of all the cousins.
Oh, thank you, Dorothy Ann.
You're
love
welcome.
You. I love you
Take
so much.
Take care. I'm very proud. Everybody's very proud of you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in, Dorothy.
That's the one I wasn't expecting. I thought it was going to be somebody else.
Well, that's a special call. We've got, Joe, as you can imagine, a lot of emails, a lot of web posts. So Art Persico, who is a special KALW listener, he sent in about 15 questions.
Oh, my.
They're good questions. All right. What was your first day at KALW like?
When I recall more getting hired than actual the first day. I met Daniel Del Solar, who was the general manager, and Julia Hutton Randall, who was the station program director, and they hired me, and I came in, and somebody showed me how to run this board, because the boards are all kind of the same. It's like a bicycle. If you know how to ride a bike, you can ride a bike. So I got onto that one, and it was an afternoon thing. They put me on, you know, for All Things Considered. It was good, and I did that for like fill-in for a couple of years before somebody. It was Jerry Jacob, the manager, says, "Yeah, why don't you try doing Morning Edition for a while?" So we did.
What's the funniest moment you've experienced on air?
Well, making mistakes is always a lot of fun, and I've done all that plenty of times. I just try and chuckle through them, and I think people kind of don't mind that so much if you just acknowledge that you did mispronounce somebody's name or mess up some other way. They'll go with you if you don't try and just pretend it didn't happen. Just try it. It's only radio.
The most unusual moment.
That was probably 9/11.
Mm.
When we had traffic reports at the time, and Bob Pryor, the traffic guy, and I are on the phone just because he used to check in and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And as he's on the phone, they have televisions at the traffic desk, and he saw a plane hit the building. And then I'm talking to him, like, really? And he says, oh, my God, another one just hit the World Trade Center. And what I didn't say on the air, and I'm so glad I didn't say it, because I was just trying to joke with Bob. Bob and I joked every morning, was, are they filming a new King Kong movie? You know, I didn't say that, thank goodness, because that would have been very inappropriate in 2000. It may even be appropriate 16 years later. I'm not sure. But Bob and I chuckled, and then we got back to business. And the great thing about that day was that we did go on, and we were very serious about it, as we should have been. We beat NPR to the punch. We scooped the network that day because Bob was watching television. And I just said, Bob, let's go on the air. And we did. And so we were like ahead of most of the other stations in town with the news of that ridiculously tragic day.
What about embarrassing moments?
Oh, I don't do embarrassing. No, I, this is kind of probably creeping its way slowly to the top. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's see. Art also wants to know, what kind of music do you like to play as a musician?
Oh, golly. I'm kind of from a folky tradition. My mom and dad both played music. My mom played the guitar, my dad played the accordion. And we didn't have television when I was a little kid.
Why not?
Well, we just didn't have a TV.
Are you talking about pre-TV?
Yeah, pre-TV. Okay, and so family gatherings, Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays would often turn into just like little sing-along things.
You actually talked to each other.
Yes, we talked and we'd play music.
No
and,
devices.
You know, yeah, there wasn't any, you know, sending text messages. So we were a very musical family.
Mm. When did you first pick up a guitar?
Oh, I don't know. I was 7 or 8 years old.
And did it
Actually, I had a ukulele first because I was, you know, I'm a little guy and I had little small hands, so we took ukulele lessons first.
Did it come naturally?
Kind of. Because everybody played. Yeah, mom and dad played. My dad, a year before I was born, purchased a mandolin. And he was ready to learn how to play it and then lost 3 fingers in an industrial accident at work. So the mandolin stayed on the mantle for several years, but then he finally sold it because he couldn't play the silly thing because he'd lost his fingers. But then he just picked up an accordion and he started playing the accordion. He was a very talented man. He could do that sort of thing. So music was part of our DNA in the family.
How did that affect him and you?
Oh, I'm sure it affected him. I couldn't see. I mean, he must have been 26, 27 years old when that happened, right in the, you know, his best earning years, you know, when you're swinging a hammer. And he had to somehow, I don't know if it was a hammer, is his hammer swinging hand where the fingers were lost. But he was ambidextrous. He was left-handed and he could do both. Huh? For him, it must have been devastating. We were so small, we didn't notice until, you know, our friends, when we were in school, would ask him what happened, and he'd always make a joke about it. You know, the elephants at the zoo did that or something to scare kids from, oh, no, I'm not going to go near the elephants. On a field trip, he'd say that sort of thing.
Are you looking forward to playing more music?
Yes. I think that's going to be one of the things that keeps me busiest. Because when I first started here, I was kind of busy as a musician in my late 20s. And it'll be interesting to get back to doing that again. Because I'll have the time in the evening, you know. I don't have to stay up all night, just part of it.
And how can we follow you? If you're on Facebook, Joe is a very active Facebook user, so you can figure out where he's going to play gigs. But how else can we find out where you're playing?
That's kind of the only way right now. Mm-hmm. Or on my email address, which is joe@klw.org. I'll have that still for a while. Will I, Matt? Yeah, I hope so. I don't know.
Today on Your Call, it's a special edition of Your Call, and we are joined by our colleague and friend, Joe Burke, who is leaving KALW after 28 years. For 25 years, he has been the morning announcer, going to bed at 7:30 in order to wake up at 3
unless
in the
World
morning.
Series is on. During the World Series games, I'd stay up till the end.
Only for baseball.
Only for the Giants.
So we'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions or comments for Joe, give us a call. Send us an email. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. If you have a perspective that you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling us at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK, toll free. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question at today's website, yourcallradio.org. The leader.
And that was a special song?
Yeah, that's
requested
David,
by Joe?
David LaFlame, the band It's a Beautiful Day and White Bird. It's funny because I met David at a West Coast live taping many years ago at Fort Mason, and he just came up and said, "Hi, I'm David." "I'm Joe. Nice to meet you." "Oh, you're Joe Burke. I listen to you." And then, 10 minutes later, somebody says, "That's David LaFlame." So then I had to go over there and, be a complete fan. "Oh, it's so great to meet you. Oh, my goodness."
So we were talking earlier about your family and music. So you grew up in San Francisco.
Yes.
You're a native.
I'm a native way out in the extreme outer Richmond, out on 37, the Balboa. You know where the Balboa Theater is?
Yep.
We were right around the corner. Yeah.
So you've seen major changes in San Francisco. Lord.
Yeah, I remember Playland at the Beach, which is now a condominium complex, Yeah, it was San Francisco is a wonderfully interesting place that to watch all these years is I'm blessed. I'm so blessed, truly. And then be able to work in your hometown on radio. That is rather unusual. I know you're from Northern
yep.
California, and Kevin Vance is from the East Bay. Lots of other folks are from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But in radio, it is so unusual to actually find a job in your own area code. Whoops, pardon me. And that's I was lucky enough and just blessed.
And also blessed to have really great colleagues, and blessed to look forward to coming to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to say, Joe, there are times when we do really serious shows, and after 10 serious shows in a row, you kind of get tired and you'll crack a joke or sometimes. So Joe's able to talk to me while I'm on the air and you can't hear it. And he'll say something and it just makes me smile. And all of a sudden I get that, ooh, okay, it's all good.
Yeah.
I can do this for another 5 days, even if it's an intense show.
Yeah, when you're on like Morning Edition, which is pretty much news of the day from around the world, you can get a little overwhelmed with the tragedy news, plane here, a train crash there. And you just have to keep a sort of even keel or it's just going to destroy you.
The other fun moments I have to say is when we do a show and Joe has a strong opinion about the topic, I have to watch him putting his hands up in the air and yelling, and I have no idea what he's saying because I'm on the air. And then he's talking to me, but he's not actually talking to me. And I'm thinking, what do you want? Would you have a question? Go ahead and tell me in my ear, Joe.
I'm just doing a crossword puzzle and I need a 5-letter word for yesterday.
Well, we are inundated with emails, so I want to read a few of these. We have an email from Cormac. "I'm originally from Ireland and have lived in the Bay Area for 25 years. I luckily discovered KALW after arriving here and must have heard Joe on the air one time announcing that he would be playing at Ireland's 32 Bar on Geary.
Wow.
I think his band was called The Sore Losers, and I met Joe briefly after that gig. That's a long time ago, and I think if I remember it correctly, maybe Joe can confirm. Anyhow, I've really enjoyed listening to Joe in the mornings and now hope that he'll be playing some gigs and we can check him out. Best of luck to you, Joe, and enjoy the sleep-in."
Thank you so much. Now, Ireland's 32 was our the neighborhood pub that was right up the street from the Abbey Tavern. And we were the Sore Losers. We stole that name from a softball team that I played with. And I just thought the name was such a good name, I stole it and made a band out of it.
Well, thank you for calling in, Cormac. Oh,
thank you, Cormac.
Any relation to the great Irish accordion player, Joe Burke?
No. And there's a Joe Banjo Burke as well. Here's a great story. My brother's name is Kevin. And there's also an famous Irish musician named Kevin Burke. Well, they were playing one night at the Great American Music Hall, and I saw the marquee. It said Joe Burke and Kevin Burke, and I didn't have a camera. It's one of those things now where you have a cell phone and a camera. I'd have been able to, but it's still there in my memory, but never did get a photo of it.
Rashid writes in, "Well, Joe, I told Matt last night that I eventually got used to not having Herb Cain in the morning every day, and I eventually got used to not having Studs Terkel in the morning every day, and I suppose that I'll eventually get used to not having Joe Burke in the morning, but I'm not pleased with the prospect, and it'll take a long time."
Oh, thanks, Rashid.
"It was interesting hearing that you're the oldest of a generation of cousins. I'm in the same state myself. So how does it feel to be il senor, il patron? With about 50 cousins younger than me, I was always in trouble at family reunions. It was either you're the oldest, you should have stopped them, or you're the oldest, you should have made them do it. No way to win. I have two aunts still living, but I'm now the oldest male in my father, the godfather. That and $5 will get me a large coffee at Starbucks. But I go to Pete's, not Starbucks."
No, Mr. Pete. Remember, Mr. Pete used to come in and be a phone volunteer with us. The founder of Pete's Coffee. He was such a nice old guy. Well, thank you.
And Art writes and says, thanks so much for asking all of my questions. Art, we almost always do. Art says, my wife cried when she heard that beautiful audio collage for Joe this morning.
That was nice, wasn't it? Julie Kane came in with the audiograph sound. No, Art and I, this was years ago, we were at the Stern Grove Festival, and KALW's got a little table. And people are coming up to, you know, ask for a program guide and stuff. And Art's going, hey, this is Joe Burke, our morning announcer. Art, if, you know, if people recognize my voice, I'm glad to talk to them. But, you know, you don't have to shine a light on me. I get enough light shown on me. So yesterday we were talking in the kitchen, and I said, yeah, Art, next year when we meet at the Stern Grove Festival, please point people out and say, hey, that's Joe Burke. He used to be somebody. He's not on the radio anymore, but that's him. So it just sort of switched.
Chantal wants to know how long you've been reporting the school lunches.
We started doing that, oh my God, it had to have been 91 or 92, when the vendor for the school lunch program, the folks who delivered the food to all the schools, I don't know who talked them into underwriting the radio station for a bit. I think it was probably the station manager. And we looked at each other, Jerry Jake with the manager, and I said, we should do the school lunch menu because they're underwriting. We just did, you know, support for KALW comes from whatever foods it was. And then we started reading the school lunch menus, and they weren't very happy with the way we smiled and laughed at them. Because they were still back in the early 90s. They were still rather just horrible.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, that cheese pizza that's more like cardboard than it is like pizza. Or the baseball cookie that's shaped like a cookie and tastes like a baseball. It was that sort of stuff. And
so if your child actually does have healthy lunch, you can probably thank Joe.
I think in a way we did what we could to change it just by making fun of how bad it was. You know, I never really wrote my congressman about that, but we made sure that people knew what their kids were being forced to eat in school.
Thank you, Chantal. Peter writes in, I can't believe I won't be laughing at some inside musical or word crafty joke from Joe between shows anymore. It's been a great run, Joe. You'll be missed, but maybe we can more easily grab a beer now.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. That sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, thank you. We've got a ton of emails. I'll go back and forth between emails and phone calls. So now Let's hear from KDF in Oakland. Hi, KDF.
Morning.
Hi. Thank you so much, Rose. Joe, I just had to call and say you were so kind. After Rose was brave enough to do a show about, excuse me, Uber and, you know, how they're destroying the fabric of paratransit transportation of our seniors and our disabled and so on. I was so upset and I called in. I wasn't able to get on the air, and you came on the phone and you said, oh, you said, I was a cab driver at some point and I really understand. And you were just so calming and kind, and you know, you didn't know me, you didn't have to do that, so it just kind of goes to show, you know, the kind of devotion you have to your listeners. So thank you for all that.
Thank you. And that's when Rose was talking earlier about the times I'd be in the other room waving my hands, that Uber show was one of them, because as you said, I drove a cab for a while, and seeing those sort of people who don't have to take a test or have any sort of screening process or anything like that. And it's everywhere now. You're not going to get rid of it.
Right.
But we tried in the first few months of that thing. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
The world changes.
Thank you, KDF. We'll continue following this story. It's a really important one. And cab drivers' salaries have gone down by at least half
there's
because
so
of this.
There's so few cabs on the street now. And that's one of the things you see when there's San Franciscans the thing is, oh, you can never find a cab in San Francisco. That's just not true, Or it wasn't. It is probably now. But that was how the city regulated traffic in the city in a way. There are only going to be X amount of public vehicles on the road. And now with Uber, there's not. So if there's more traffic downtown or anywhere else in the city, a lot of it is due because there's no more limitation on the amount of cars that are allowed by the city to drive people around. And that, to me, is a big part of the problem. It was to limit the number of cars in the city, which I think we all can agree is a good thing to do.
In a tiny city.
Exactly.
Small city. Well, thank you for calling KDF. Let's go next to an old friend calling in for Joe Burke, Dred Scott.
Ah, Dred. Hey, how you doing?
Now from the sublime to the ridiculous. Joe, it's a beautiful day. Congratulations.
Thank you, friend. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's great to hear you. And it's great that the people who've been listening to you for all these years get to delve a little bit into the real Joe for a few minutes. scary as that prospect might be.
Yeah, where are you going with this?
Nowhere.
Okay, good.
Where are you? Good. The question is, Joe, where are you going now?
I am going to sleep a lot. And just...
What time are you going to wake up on Monday?
Oh.
Regardless of alarm clock.
Yeah. If I can get to 8 or... the truth is, if I can get to 6 or 7 o'clock, it'll be a victory. I'd like to go to 8 or 9, but sometimes the body clock is going to have its way with you.
It'll probably be a gradual process.
I imagine it will. I imagine it
so
will.
I was trying to think of a question that, you know, only radio people would understand, and I thought of this. How many times in the years that you've been working at KLW have you met somebody in a social situation and they said something to the effect, you know, you look different than I thought you would?
Oh, every time.
Yeah.
Every time. No, that's funny because when I was... where I met you at KTIM after you guys all left, there was the chief engineer's wife. We're at like a remote broadcaster somewhere, and she'd only ever heard me and never met me. And she said, Joe, I probably shouldn't say this to you because in my mind's eye, and I'm 26, 27 at the time, in my mind's eye, you're like 50-something fat and bald. Which was, well, we were friendly, so you could get away with saying that, but it was not at all that way.
Congratulations, you finally made it.
I'm 50-something fat and bald now. Thanks, thanks, Dred.
Well, people have to understand the concept of a face for radio. then they would know. Anyway, I just wanted to call and say congratulations, and I look forward to continuing the updates on the Curse of the Stick page on Facebook.
Fantastic.
And hopefully we'll see you around soon.
Thanks, Dred. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in, Dred. Let's go next to Kate in San Francisco. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Kate.
I just wanted to say, hi, Joe. Thank you so much. You welcomed me into the city when I joined San Francisco about 6 years ago. And I've enjoyed listening to you every morning.
Well, thank you very much. That's kind of one of the joys is... talking to people who listen to you and are, you know, I've been here in San Francisco 20 however many years, and you've been that voice for all those years, which it's so humbling. It is so truly humbling because I'm not sure I see myself in that way, because I don't have to, though I understand it, because when I was a kid, there were radio people who, you know, mom and dad turned on the radio every morning when everybody woke up, and you listened to the radio. Radio was on all day. We didn't have a television. And you became attached to those people. You knew Don Sherwood or Jim Lang, who took over after he left, or Tom Donahue. Those people, you knew their voice and you knew them. And so I understand what people are saying about the last 20 so many years here, but it's still not something that I focus on, because I just come in and open the door every day. It could just as easily be another pretty voice.
And a lot of people on radio they're a different person on air, right? Like they put on this sort of professional voice. Today it's your call. We are joined by Joe Burke. You don't do that.
No.
You're the same on the air as you are off the air for the most part.
I try to be.
Right?
I really do. It just seems more natural. I think that's what resonates with people who listen and like the way we approach it.
Has your voice changed much when you listen to tapes from when you were young?
It might be a little more scratchy, raspy. But it's always been this way. Like I said, the woman who said you sound 50-something old and bald, because at 27 my voice sounded like it does now. So I'm finally starting to fit into the voice, just in time to retire.
Thank you for calling, Kate.
Thanks, Kate. Let's
hear next from Christine in San Francisco. Hi, Christine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Joe, you say that you just opened the door, but the whole thing is that you've been part of what keeps that station afloat. I've been listening since 1990, and you know that scary moment at one point when the license was up for review?
Mm-hmm.
And you and Joanne and Kevin and Bill Helgeson, and who is one of the managers there, you guys kept everything going through the changes that the station kept going through until Nicole kind of helped stabilize things, and then later on Matt took over.
That's exactly right.
and that was pretty dramatic, because, you know, you never know how you contribute. You know, you might think I'm just doing my job, but, you know, it's an important job, and I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it has been that long road, and it seems so short in retrospect, but there were times when you didn't know what was going to happen next. There was, you know, challenges to the station's license and that sort of thing. But when you just keep coming in and doing what you do. And fortunately, I was lucky enough to be on a program like Morning Edition, where it's pretty much self-contained, and all I have to do is jump in here and tell you what Rose is going to do at 10, or what's on Fresh Air, or what the weather's going to be like. And there was that consistency to the station's programming that helped us to use those programs to grow others here like yours, like you recall.
Thank you, Christine. Let's hear next from Jen in Oakland. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe. We have listened to you since you started, and I remember when you are our wake-up radio,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, we heard this voice and this humor, and all of a sudden, we bounced out of bed and said, wait, this is new. And I remember when they were going to let you go, and this was cannot be, this is a real live wire, and I wrote, and I thought I was the only one, and it wasn't, and you were there, and you are our announcer.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice. Well, let me go? No. Well, it may have happened. I don't know. I perhaps may have offended someone along the way. Hard for me
Never.
To believe. Yeah.
thank you for calling in, Jen. We have an email from our former Your Call producer, Allie Budner, Madam Allie. She
says, Budner. Hi, Allie.
Joe, that's what I said out loud when I heard your voice this morning and thought about how it was your last almanac. I wish I was still around KALW to be part of your send-off. It was so fun to work with you for almost 5 years during our Your Call mornings, and it's fun to be hearing you recall all these memories about KALW. I'll be missing you and hearing your voice, but I hope to keep in touch and cross paths. I wish you the very best for all that's to come.
Yeah, I've been able to. That's one of the best fun things about doing this. Working here at KLW all these years. It's the last. How long have you been on the air now with Your Call?
10 years in August.
10 years every day I got to engineer this program. So all the producers who've come and gone, including Allie Budner and others. Matt Martin started as the producer of that program when Laura Flanders hosted it. So there are those relationships with all of those people that I see every day. Malia Raz is on, and Rosalie Atkinson and Laura Flynn are with us now. Allie Budner, and there's so many others. I'd leave all the names out. I'm going to apologize for forgetting. But I'm old, and I forget that.
Well, speaking of working with other colleagues, Joe has a question, or Christina has a question.
Yeah.
What was the most important advice you give everyone who starts at KALW?
That's a tough one, because I don't really interact with so many individual producers. I do interact with announcer folks, and I can only relate to Morning Edition. If you're working Morning Edition, try and pay attention to what's going on the show. And I had this advantage this is the first time I've ever shared this secret. Morning Edition runs 2 hours, right? So I hear it twice. So I'm making mental notes all the way through the first one for musical selections for the second time through. And the people who were listening from 7 to 9 don't know that. They think, wow, that musical selection fit the story. Because I heard it from 5 to 7 the first time around. So are those, you know, little tricks I used to do. And that's what I would tell people, just to keep an eye on, an ear on what you're doing, even though after a while it may seem like Morning Edition.
Max Jacobs.
Max.
He has a question. Max also works with KALW. Uh-huh. How did you watch all those World Series games when you had to get up at 3 o'clock?
I did.
You just did it.
Just did it because, my goodness, it was the Giants for crying out loud. And, there was a time when I thought you'd be like Cubs fans whose parents and grandparents and great-grandparents are still waiting to see like the Cubs win a World Series. They could do it this year. They have a very good team.
Well, another Giants question or comment. Billy from San Rafael says, I called Joe a couple times through the years, especially when our Giants won. I called last week and got to tell you how much I appreciate you. Thank you for all these great years of getting us through our mornings, and enjoy your next chapter.
Oh, thank you, Billy. That's really nice. I hope to.
He says he was also around in those days going to see Tower of Power at small clubs.
Yeah, it was a musical heyday of sorts back then. Everybody was playing everywhere, in the park, Winterland, which isn't there anymore either.
Janelle writes in, bless your heart, Joe. You've got a great voice with so many qualities, compassion, friendliness, tolerance, humor, great attitude, and so much more. Thank you for gracing the airwaves all the way to Baja Sur. Big Sur.
Yeah.
May your retirement be fulfilling, healthy, well spent.
I sure hope it will be. Thank you very much. And you guys have all made it possible, really. Keeping local public radio strong all these years. It's amazing, the people who, the listeners, when you talk to them, they occasionally call on the phone and stuff. It's a wonderful group of people.
Robert says, when you first started at KALW, I admit that I wasn't quite comfortable with your style, with your take on things. Maybe you seemed too different from me in some ways. But Mr. Burke, over the years, I believe I've learned to be more like you, and I'm all the better for it. So in my book, you are at the best. You've been the reliable, friendly, really human constant in the evolving of KALW. I don't want to lose that, although I will reluctantly let you move on.
Oh, thank you. I can put a finger on it. It's the San Franciscan-ness. Hmm. You know, you're just San Franciscans think a little differently than the rest of the world. And maybe that's what it is. You know, you don't take everything quite so seriously, even the serious thing.
Gregory writes, it occurred to me that radio announcers and actors have a lot in common and that you are very powerful and influential people. Have you ever been on stage or considered it?
Well, I sing and play, so I've been on stage. My brother's more of an actor. He's a Shakespeare guy. Though I have described what we do as little performances. You know, in Morning Edition, there's these little minute-long, minute-and-a-half-long breaks throughout the program. And those are those little times where I'll work myself up to just doing a minute and a half and making sure that that minute and a half is a little performance. And you got 10 or 20 little performances every day. So that is a way that I do approach it. Yes. he figured it out.
We have another email from Natasha. Joe, I have stage fright, so I'm shy about calling in, but I wanted to say I will miss your presence. Thank you so much for the many years and making me feel so close to San Francisco, even when I moved to Southern California.
Thanks, Natasha. No, Natasha was a phone volunteer type, moved to Southern California, and still listens to us. That's kind of nice. That's, you know, that's kind of flattering. San Diego. I got a call from San Diego this morning as well. Or an email, I should say. Somebody does the same thing who lives in San Diego, who listens to KALW.
We're getting more calls from other states, in other states. Hanab Baba, the host of Cross Currents, says, Joe, a true professional with a big heart and incredible wit. You have to follow him on Facebook. I do that every day for a smile. I will miss you dearly.
Thank you, Hanab.
We have just a couple minutes left, Joe.
Yeah.
So what don't we know about you? I mean, I'm thinking I've spent almost every morning with you for the last 10 years, give or take a few when we have vacation. But what don't we know about you?
I think most of me really...
Something surprising?
I think most of me kind of comes through in the way we present or what we do on Morning Edition. A sense of humor and musical taste. And
Do you have any hobbies that don't go along with music or baseball?
Not really. No. I mean, I used to play golf, but I haven't played golf in 30 years.
Oh, okay. That's a little different.
Yeah, that's the typical retired guy thing. I got myself a set of golf clubs. But I was good when I was, 10. But then I fell away from it. So hobbies, music is kind of that hobby that's probably going to keep me busy for a while. I don't have stamp collecting or anything like that.
What do you think about where we are right now with media? You and I like to talk about media consolidation and that kind of thing every once in a while.
And here's the ironic thing about that is when I got into the business in 80, whatever it was, at KTIV, we all thought that there was too much corporate influence then.
And at 50 companies.
And exactly. And there was like 20 times as many radio or media outlets then as there are now. And now it's down to less than 10 media organizations that run just about everything. So it really is discouraging in a way. But what is encouraging is a station like KALW and local public radio that just keeps things fresh and incubates new talent and brings new radio programs to the air just on an idea, that's fantastic. And to be part of that for all these years, to be part of what has made that happen, there's nothing better. Nothing. Really cool.
And what about you're staying in the Bay Area?
Oh, yeah.
You're here.
Going anywhere.
Yeah.
Just stay home, sleep in.
We have a lot of questions about what's next for you.
Yeah, and not sure. There's a couple irons in a different fire here and a different fire there, but nothing is sewn up and for sure yet, so I'm not saying anything. I'm just not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning ever again.
I think we have time for one more phone call.
Okay.
Let's hear from Laura in Alameda.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. So I am definitely going to miss you. I miss your voice on Morning Almanac, and I was going to suggest that you show up for that, but then I realized it involves getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is a no-go. And I really, like, for me, what had their other public radio stations to listen to, and what I've really appreciated, is that you represent the really locally sourced-based radio for this area. And with the miracle of the Internet, I can listen to you wherever I am in the world. So I've really, 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 really appreciated. And you're going to be missed. So thank you so very much.
Well, thank you very much as well. It's very, very humbling to hear from all these people today and over the last few days. And continue to support local public radio, please.
Yes.
Please, please. I got a membership drive coming up in just a week or so.
Well, Rosalie, our intern, says, Joe has been encouraging since my first day as an intern, and I have loved every morning I've gotten the chance to spend listening to him grumbling.
I only grumble at people I like.
Well, and I want to say, because we look at each other throughout the show and we do back and forth, and it's been great to work with you, Joe, because you're always encouraging. The fun part, I think, is the best.
Well, you know, I told you the first day you came in to sit in for Laura that you were going to be doing this for a while.
You did.
And you are. You're continuing. You're the best.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for all your support. And I'm so excited to take you out for a drink and live music after 8 o'clock at night.
Stay out. We can stay out.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about the prospects for a just peace in Israel and Palestine. France is planning to hold a summit to restart the peace process, but critics say the expansion of settlements, Israel's shift to the right, and unconditional U.S. support for Israeli policies, including the largest military package in history, has diminished the prospect of an independent, viable Palestinian state. So what's next? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show, Malihei Razazan is senior producer, Matt Martin is executive producer, and Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.